Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 20th of September.
What is a cap hold and why does it matter? Oh, that's stimulating. The Jazz wing rotation and get to know Alec Burks. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz. It's your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight you cannot get anywhere else. You can get it on iTunes, Google. You can get it on your Android. You can get it on Alexa or a Spotify, in fact. So available for you in all sorts of spots. And now also available at LockedOnJazz.net. LockedOnJazz.net. Also available for you. All right, a bunch of things for you on the show today. It's brought to you by my friends at Grip Six. Oh, my gosh, I got to share this. I got to find this. This was hysterical. And I hope my friend Mr. Trujillo does not mind me sharing this, but this was classic. So I did the Grip Six, welcomed Grip Six into the fold the other day, and then got an email from a listener about Grip Six, from Derek Trujillo. I hope he doesn't mind that I read this. So, hey, when I heard you mention Grip Six on the podcast, I was excited to hear it's a Utah company. I've owned Grip Six belts for about a month now. It's the best belt I've ever owned. Okay, so now that sounds like this is going to be just, I'm like, oh, cool. And then it gets hysterical. All right, I'll get right to it, he writes. I'm a fat guy. One of the worst parts about being a big guy is how much belts suck. I sit down at the desk at work all day. Belts really hurt my stomach. I get scraped, pinched, cut by some belts. It's miserable. I searched for a comfortable belt and found Grip Six on Amazon. Grabbed an aluminum buckle with a black nylon belt. It's been night and day difference. It's the most comfortable belt I've ever worn. My stomach hasn't been pinched or scratched once, and I can sit all day with no discomfort at all. Long story short, I'll never wear a different belt again. Just in case you read this on your podcast, I am not a paid shill, but I'm willing to be one if Grip Six wants to hit me up. I loved it. Derek Trujillo has been a longtime listener and really a friend of the program, actually, at this point, I would say. And so anyway, it was pretty funny. So I'll tell you more about them as the show goes on and we actually do our real sponsorship. But I thought that was kind of funny. All right, let's get to what is a cap hold. Thank you for everybody's voting. Alec Burks was the vote winner today. Every day I'm kind of throwing up there a tweet that lets you vote on who is going to be your next get-to-know interview. And Alec on Twitter, at Locked On Sports, Alex Burks got 47% of the vote. Howell Neto, 26, Tony Bradley, 16, and Royce O'Neal, 11. I would have thought Royce O'Neal might have gotten more, just in the sense that, you don't know who he is. And he's a nice guy. All right, so what is a cap hold and why does it matter? Why would I bring this up? Because one of the big storylines coming up in the next little bit is going to be, well, it's probably next month or so because the rookie date is October 31st. So it's going to be a while, but it's worth talking about. And the cap hold is what the amount of space a free agent counts toward your team's cap space. So when Rodney Hood and Dante Exum, or even Gordon Hayward this last year, or Joe Ingles, are free agents. And in the case of Rodney and Dante, when they're restricted free agents, there is a number that the league puts on your salary cap that is the cap hold. So the cap hold cannot exceed the maximum contract offer a player can receive. but it's generally about 120% of their prior team salary. That's the way to look at it. So as Rodney Hood, this is specifically where it's important. As Rodney, and actually, remember how late it was until we announced the Joe Ingles signing? It was because Joe Ingles had a very low cap hold. So the later we, as long as we didn't sign Joe Ingles, his cap hold last year was $120 million of basically his minimum salary, or close to. And then the minute we signed him to his new multi $12 million whatever deal, then the cap hold became $12 million. So the Jazz waited to sign Joe Ingles until they'd gotten the Cephalosha deal done, the Jarebko deal done, the Udo deal, because they had cap money. But if you sign Joe Ingles, then his cap hold changes. So the reason this matters is because next year, and there's been some changing on how they've done this with the new collective bargaining agreement. So if we go look at the Utah Jazz salaries for this next season, and we think about, so if you're trying to sign, let's start with Rodney Hood. If you want to sign Rodney Hood to a contract next year, his cap hold is about 120%. He's earning $2.3 million this year. His qualifying offer is 3.4. Like, that's, I don't know the exact number. It doesn't matter. But his cap hold is like somewhere in the range of, and there's some new numbers they've added to this. It's a little more complicated now with the new collective bargaining agreement. They've tried to make it so that it gets bigger. Rodney's cap hold is like $4 or $5 million. Well, I don't know what Rodney's value is on the marketplace right now, but let's say that the Jazz agree to a 3-year 36, 4-year $48 million deal with Rodney, $12 million, basically saying you're probably a starter, but somewhere in there, right? That's kind of, you're not quite a full start. We're not certain you're a start. Like, that would be a very Jazz positive deal, I would say. The Jazz would probably, but what it would do for next year, before we have any idea what this team is it would take the Jazz and cost them about $7 or $8 million of cap space for next season. Right now on the books for next year, you've got Rudy at 23, Ricky Rubio at 15, Joe Ingles at 13, and descending considerably, by the way. Joe Ingles' contract is 14.1, 13.0, 11.9, and then 10.8. Alec Burks at 11.5, and we'll hear from Alec coming up here. And then you really don't have much of any other contract on the books other than Rodney and Dante's cap holds. So you have huge possibilities of cap space next year in a market that has very little cap space. Like, it's a good place to be. And if you go sign Rodney right now, even on a deal that I would say, you know, I think Rodney's contract negotiations, which we've talked about a lot, are really interesting, because one of the most interesting, and when I actually said this to somebody in the league the other day, they said, it's not interesting at all. His cap hold's so low, they can't sign him. And I thought that was interesting, because their perspective was, I was like, yeah, but isn't there a number where it's like at least worth it for the Jazz? And he said, barely, right? Like, unless the Jazz are trying to get a deal over on him, which they're not. So if Rodney has a great year and then you pay him at the end of the year and we turn out to be really good because Rodney has a great year, okay, well, that's fine. Then you just pay him. But the flexibility the Jazz would lose is somewhere in the range of about $8 million of cap space. Now, the next interesting one is Dante. So Dante's qualifying offer is 6.6. I think the cap hold, which is actually, it's a little different than the 120 just because of the fact that, again, that they've changed some of these rules because of the new collective bargaining agreement, that, you know, Dante was signed and Rodney were both signed on the old agreement. And so their rookie numbers are smaller than the current one. So I think they've bumped him up to kind of what the current ones are. So I believe Dante's cap hold is somewhere in the range of $9 million. Now, the reverse could happen here. Now, I don't think Dante... No one has any idea what Dante's level is still, right? Like, I think we don't know. It's kind of a wild card. So would the if Dante suddenly was willing to take a 3-year $24 million deal for next year and take, which I don't think he would, right? Like, Dante probably wants a chance to go start or wants to have a year where he can explode and earn starter money, which is 12 to 15. And so I'm not sure why he would sign a 3-year 24. He probably can get a 3-year 24. But let's just hypothetically say that then all of a sudden the Jazz might be willing to, even if they're not sure about where Dante's future is, because it would save them $1 million of cap money. So there's actually what the cap hold's impact is that there's a minor chance that it would increase the chances of signing Dante, whereas it decreases any chance of signing Rodney, if that makes any sense. None of these negotiations are happening in a bubble. They're happening inside of the whole structure of the salary cap, and then that has its impact. All right, that my friends, was enough to bore all of you. I can feel that conversation kind of continuing, and I think that's the crux of that conversation, where it really matters. All right, our sponsor today is Grip 6. They are a belt company. They are out of Utah. They're consistently rated 4.5 out of 5 stars, so they're a Draper, Utah company. It's kind of a cool story. BJ Minson's the owner. He creates the belt in his garage. Next thing you know, he does kind of one of those money right razors. Next thing you know, he's got a company and now they're rolling. So what's unique about them? What is unique about them is the belt is with no holes and no belt flap hanging out. It's hard to explain, but you take the nylon inside from the outside inside. It has a patented little hook that clicks in and then straps underneath. I got 2 pairs. They sent them to me, and it's the only belt I've worn since I got it. You can create your own Grip 6 belt with their various colors. If you want to build some sort of golf belt with a bright color buckle, you can get the buckle red. Or if you just want the ninja belt, it's just $35. It's cheaper for you, by the way. I'll tell you why in a second. So the buckles are $20. The straps are $15. You can play around and build your own however you might wish. If you scan all the way down the grip6.com site, then there's some more. There's some different ones. The stickly one is really nice, the wood belt. I'm probably going to add that to my collection. They've got a cool little honeycomb one. I have the carbon fiber one. It's a little more expensive. It was $75, and it's really nice. It's the belt I wear more than any other. So it's got great variety. You can put it together, and I will tell you, it's easy. It fits. And for a guy like me, who's not the fat guy that Derek Trujillo talked about earlier, I do fluctuate about 15 pounds. I'm at 177 right now, and I'm at 192 by the end of the season. So having a belt that moves along and doesn't have the holes and always isn't always caught in between the buckle, it's always such a disappointing moment kind of in January where it's like, oh, I'm not quite this new buckle, but I'm not this loop anymore, or this hole. It's like, and that's going to solve it. So I'm really excited to have found them. Grip 6. And here's the deal. If you use the promo code LOCK20, they'll give you 20% off. So it's not $35. It's 20% off of that, which is a lot. So check it out. They're manufactured, all their belts in the U.S., domestic materials, machinery, custom machines that they're used for their manufacturing. They literally pride themselves and like puff their chest out about wearing the best belt ever and having an unlimited, there's some great warranties on it as well. I misspoke last time on exactly what they are. So fire up. Check it out, grip6.com, local Utah company. They do ship worldwide. I think it's going to be my new present for people. I'm fired up about them. You should check it out. All right, wing rotation is interesting. Obviously, it's Rod. I think this likelihood is that Rodney and Joe start. And then Cephalosha plays some small forward, and I get to meet him today. And that's the Ingles-Cephalosha mix is really pretty exciting because that's a bona fide, in-your-face, physical defender for 48 minutes there if you want it. And then Rodney and probably Donovan Mitchell are going to do most of the two-man, play at the two. And then our get-to-know feature today is the wild card here, is what can Alec Burks do? Cephalosha, it played 25 minutes a night last year in Atlanta and played fairly well. He's not a great shooter. He's a career 34.5% shooter. He had, when he played with Durant and Westbrook and he just got incredible looks at OKC, he was a knockdown 44% shooter. But frankly, most of his career, he's been less than that. He's been a 32, 32, 34, 34 the last few years. That's the number that he is going to be. So he is not a bona fide knockdown killer 40% shooter. Jerebko is really the knockdown bona fide shooter that this team signed in the offseason, more so than I think anyone realizes. But Thabo is going to do great work defensively, give you incredible effort, play the game right. He's not great off the bounce. Good passer, though. Just a really, really solid NBA veteran at this point. And he's got some spots on the floor over the years where he shoots a little better than some others. So last year, if you look at his shot chart and where he's a little bit better than some others, and where you want to get him, where you'd want to get him the ball is kind of the above the break angle left three. He was interesting last year. He was 10 of 30. Sorry about that. He was 10 of 30 from each of the corner threes. He didn't make a straightaway three. So he was not a great corner three shooter last year in Atlanta. Now Atlanta was weird last year, right? Without Dwight, without kind of moving Jeff Teague and trading some of their guys. They didn't have and adding Dwight Howard instead of Al Horford. They didn't have quite the same vibe that they had a year before. The year prior, when they had that, when they had Al Horford moving the ball and a bit better, Cephalosha was the opposite. He was a pure corner three shooter. He nailed 47% from the left corner. He was and 41 from the other. He was a combined 28 of 68. And he was a very, very poor above the break 3-point shooter. He was 22%. So I'm not sure what his natural shooting kind of spot of comfort zone is. And I'm going to actually talk to him. I'm going to talk to him about that and see what his feeling is, on that. So, what the other wild card with this rotation is this year is going to be, Alec, I think, is the first wild. There's three things that are going to really impact this rotation. One is how many minutes does Donovan Mitchell force on himself on the floor? His effort, his energy, his juice will get him on the floor. How under control he can stay, because once he's playing with the best players, we'll see. I mean, he's got a confidence that's beautiful about him, but you're going to have to bring it back a little bit. And young kids don't help you win. So that's going to be interesting. The second aspect is Alec Burks and how much is he going to be able to play. And the third aspect is going to be how often do the Jazz do what I would call a shift down one. So in other words, or it could be the other way, because I'm not including Joe Johnson in this group. I'm thinking of Joe Johnson as the backup four to Derek Favors, but then there's also Jarebko. Is how often do the Jazz shift down to a lineup of Rubio, Dante, Alec, and then suddenly, you know, you're playing one down. So now you're big Joe Johnson or something. So suddenly what happens when you is, or you're playing Rubio, Dante, Donovan, and now you've slid Dante into this rotation by playing the two. Or you're playing, you know, how often are the Jazz playing just an kind of taking one of their twos and sliding him to a three? How often are, you know, Rodney Hood and Dante Exum on the floor together, or excuse me, Rodney Hood and Donovan Mitchell on the floor together, and then Joe Ingles or Cephalosha slides down to a four? So that's, I think, one thing that will be interesting. You know, Cephalosha is only 6'7", 220. That's a pretty small four, but we're doing that a lot in the league, and that is where I think things will get interesting. If you would like to advertise on Locked On Jazz during this NBA season, you are more than welcome to do so. Obviously, we'd like to have you. And this would be a spot where your ad would air right here. And if you're looking for, if you're looking for women, I'd suggest you don't advertise here. But if you're looking for men between the ages of 18 to 54, specifically 25 to 44, this is the spot to do it. You got a loyal audience. Podcast listeners respond better to advertising than other formats. So please do so. And please give me an email at dlock09@gmail.com. All right, let's get to the Alec Burks Get to Know. Alec Burks Get to Know, available for you here on Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Jazz. We'll have another poll for you tomorrow for your next one. I thought this interview with Alec was interesting for the following reasons, not to lead you to what I want you to hear. You know, I hate doing this because I think it tells you what you're... But he's not verbose, but I thought he was more well-spoken than he's been, or more open. Not more well-spoken. He's always been well-spoken, but more outwardly willing to speak than he had in the past. I thought he talked a little bit honestly about his past and growing up. and how different he is. And I thought the impact of the baby was significant. So that is, those are the things that jumped out to me in this interview with Alec, and here it is. Sorry, one last note. I'm back again. I just added this on. I did not do some of the childhood stuff with Alec because I've done it with him before. So here is just the kind of grit talent code part with Alec Burks. With Alec Burks, it's two very popular books out right now about elite athletic performance, and just one is called Grit and the other is called Talent Code. What, kind of combining those in some questions here, what made you believe you'd make it? Like, what was it, the thing that allowed you to keep going and believe you'd make the NBA?
Probably grit, talent, my confidence and my ability on the court. You know, I feel like all that added up made me think I can really make it happen, and it happened.
Is there anything particular that gave you hope? Is there somebody that gave you hope, or something?
Something was, I think after my freshman year, you know, they be having all them top camps, you know, all the top college players go, and I really dominate, and that's when I knew the next year would be time to take my game to the next level.
You look back at your journey and think about other kids. What did you do differently? What separated you?
Maybe, I don't know. You know, God certain picks, pick certain people, you know, for the play. You know, I guess he picked me. I don't know. A lot of people do, maybe did more than me, or maybe did less. I don't know. Just, I'm glad he picked me.
Some of this was physical testing you had to do, but I was reading the book Talent Code, and they talk about deliberate practice or moments in which you have to push yourself past your comfort zone and just work on one small skill. And I remember you last year trying to stop. What are some of those moments of deliberate, just really micro skill practice you've had to do in your career?
Probably recently, during the injury, just learn how to run, stop, cut, all that talk over and over. You got to, I didn't know you had to do that when you hurt your leg, you know, over and over again. That's deliberate. Every day, learn how to stop, jump, plant, go the other way. That's deliberate. Every day, I did it.
Can you share a little bit about those drills you were doing and how you couldn't stop?
Yeah, that's why I couldn't at that time stop at all. That's why I knew my leg wasn't healthy. That's why I knew I couldn't stop. I was running. I think I was running Watt and somebody else over. I can't believe it. I don't remember. Just kept running them over every day for like 2 weeks straight. So it took time.
What was, in either through the injury or just your whole career, what's been the most difficult part of improvement?
Probably my injury. You know, I think my injury kind of delayed my development a little bit, you know, because I had to do so much to get back to where I was. I'm supposed to be doing that to get better. So I think that it's the injuries, probably.
Did you doubt whether you'd ever make it back?
No, I didn't doubt. I got too much confidence in my ability. I know if I got healthy, everything else would take care of itself.
All right, I know about your confidence, but there's got to have been some point in your life where you've doubted. When have you doubted?
Maybe. Probably during the rehab. At some point, I had to doubt, you know, just frustrated, just being out so long and, you know, just, I don't know, just doubt, frustrating, you know, just getting hurt, and then something else about my ankle. It's doubt, but I knew I'll get back right, though.
You just sit in your room and scream ever, like,
Nah, I ain't that tight. You know, my life is too great. I've been blessed too much to do all that, you know. That's how I look at it.
That's a good point. What gets you back out every day? What makes you come back out to the game every day?
My daughter and my girl, you know, them two. You know, my family, they're taken care of. So my daughter and my girl, you know, they get me through every day.
What does passion mean to you?
Passion, it's the heart, you know, how heart, you know, what type of, how you going to play when everything ain't going good, what life going to look like, you know, for you.
The key word in grit is perseverance. I'm assuming that probably is your last 3 years. When you think of perseverance, what do you think of?
Basically, persevering through life, you know, everything ain't going to be good all the time. How you going to act when it's, you know, everything ain't sunny and everybody ain't talking to you like that, you know, everybody don't believe in you like you believe in yourself, you know, what you going to do? I think that's perseverance.
When you finish a game, do you remember what you did right or what you did wrong?
Both. If I did something wrong, one of the coaches, whoever I work with, is going to tell you about it. You know, definitely our Quinn going to tell you about it. So, and I'm going to remember I did good because everybody's going to say something about it. So, either both.
We talked about it a little bit already, but I love this quote. Superlative performance is a confluence of a dozen small skills, each one learned, drilled into a larger habit. When you think about basketball, not just coming back from the injury, what are those small skills in the game of basketball?
Maybe shooting, passing. I think shooting, passing, dribbling. If you could do that, master that, so many other things you could do with that, I think that's, you know, critical skills.
What is the time in which you've extended yourself beyond what you thought you were capable of?
Probably during my rehab. It's a lot I learned about my body that I didn't know I could do and that I couldn't do that I needed to learn how to do. So I think doing that, that's definitely testing me.
How is this Alec Burks different than the guy before Paul Pierce hit you?
I'm more mature. I'm a father now. You know, I see life differently. I was what, 23 something? I was reckless. I was moving reckless, you know. And now I understand things can happen. You know, I thought I was invincible at that time. But, you know, life happened. I'm matured. I'm more smarter, better. Learned a lot from the coaches from sitting out. Just overall a smarter, mature player.
Thank you. That to me sounds like a little bit of a different Alec Burks. I'll be interested in your thoughts. Go to Locked On Sports on Twitter and find out, vote for tomorrow's edition of Get to Know. Thank you very much to grip6.com, promo code LOCKED20 to get 20% off your new belt.